Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Yisro. So the pasuk starts off by Yishma Yisro. Yisro heard. What did Yisro hear? So Rashi says Yisro heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchamas Amalek. So the Chizkuni asks, how come all of a sudden Yisro heard now about Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf happened a while ago. Well, it is after Melchamas Amalek. Why did all of a sudden Yisro hear about it now? So he suggests maybe he heard about it from the retreating Amalekim. We know from Nach, Yisro's family lived near Amalek. So maybe he heard about it from them. That's why you heard about it all of a sudden now. Okay, it also says Yisro had seven names, and the Chizkuni says, actually, Yisro had eight names. There's another name, Rechav, which is not mentioned here. It's only mentioned in Nach, and that's why the Chazal always goes that there's seven names of Yisro, because there are seven names mentioned in Chumash. There's actually an eighth name mentioned in Nach. We don't have the pasuk in Yirmiyah exactly how he quotes it, but we have a pasuk in Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Beis, that says Bnei HaRechavim, and that refers to Yisro. Okay, so he really had eight names. We're only mentioning the ones in Chumash. Then it says Yisro took his daughter, and two grandchildren, Gershom and Eliezer. Now it mentions Gershom and Eliezer in a very interesting way. It says Asher Shem HaEchad Gershom. The name of the first one was Gershom. What would you expect for the second one? You would think V'shem HaSheini, right? That's not what it says. Then it says V'shem HaEchad, and the name of the one. So it calls them both the one. Shem HaEchad Gershom, and then Shem HaEchad Eliezer. Why is it calling them both HaEchad? So the Chizkuni explains that Pasukir says, right, that Eliezer's name was Eliezer because Hashem saved him from Cherif Paro. Chizkuni had told us back in, in Shmos, that why didn't Moshe name his firstborn son Eliezer? Right, Ger HaYisiberetz Nachriya, that's in Moab, that he was a Ger. Eliezer, Hashem saved him from Paro, that happened first. Why didn't he name his firstborn Eliezer? And he answered, because at the time when Gershom was born, he wasn't completely free from Paro, because they were still looking after him. They were still, Paro was still trying to get him. It's only after Hashem told him, Mesu Kalam of Akshem es Nafshecha, that then Moshe called his next son. He had a son after that, and called him Eliezer, and then Hashem saved him from Cherif Paro, because he was fully saved. So the Chizkuni explains that that's why over here they're both called HaEchad, because really Eliezer's story, the reason why Eliezer was named Eliezer, that story happened first, and Eliezer really should have been named, that should have happened first. There should have been the first name, it's just he couldn't name his son Eliezer first because he wasn't fully saved at that point, but that was the first story that happened, and therefore he called him Eliezer because that really should have been, that's why he calls it Shem HaEchad, because that's the first story, and it really should have been the name of the firstborn had he been able to. Okay, then we have Yisro introducing himself to Moshe. So he sends to Moshe the following. It says, Ani chosencha Yisro ba'ilecha. I am your chosencha Yisro ba'ilecha. I'm coming, I have your kids with me. So it sounds like a derech gaiva to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu that way. I am chosencha Yisro ba'ilecha. So Rashi really says it was Dalag de Shliach, but the Chizkuni brings says that Yisro was not at all a Baal Gaiva, and he was actually an Anav, and it bothered him that when Moshe had to sit by himself judging all the people, because he was a big Anav, Yisro. So why he didn't talk to Moshe with Gaiva? That's not what happened here. Rather, this is from a Medrash that you could. And this is interesting about the Anani HaKavod. You couldn't get in. The Anani HaKavod didn't only keep out wild animals, it kept out everybody. If you weren't part of Klal Yisrael, you couldn't get into the Anani HaKavod. So when Yisro wants to come to talk to Moshe, how's he going to get in? The Anani HaKavod, remember Amalek fought with those Shepaltam HaAnon, right? We know from Rashi, when Amalek came, they were fighting with the ones that the Anani HaKavod kicked out, because otherwise Amalek couldn't have fought Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, because there's no one to fight. They can't get into the Anani HaKavod. It's when they attacked the people that were outside of the Anani HaKavod, so the Jewish people went out to war with Amalek outside the Anani HaKavod. Anyway, you couldn't get into the Anani HaKavod. So how is Yisro supposed to get Moshe a message? So he says he threw in an arrow or shot in a stick or whatever that said, had this message on it. Hello, this is Yisro. Come with your children. So it wasn't Derech Kaiv. That was the only way. He was sending a message that way. Okay, now this next part is absolutely fascinating. Vayishtach vayishaklo. It says he bowed down and he kissed him. So Rashi says, Eini yodea mi hishtach velami. I don't know who's bowing to who. When it says vayishtach vayishaklo, did Yisro bow to Moshe or did Moshe bow to Yisro? Kishu omer ish l're'ehu, when it says ish l're'ehu, it says vayishtach vayishak lo vayishalu ish l're'ehu. Each ish talked to re'ehu. So mi hakari ish ze Moshe shenamar by ish Moshe. So who's called an ish? Moshe is called an ish, as it says vayish Moshe. That's what you get from the Rashi quoting the Mechelta. In other words, Moshe bowed down to Yisro. Okay. So that seems like a very innocuous medrash. But the Chizkuni asks an important question. It says, how do I know who bowed down to? Well, Moshe is called Ish. It says, Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od. So ask the Chizkuni, guess what? Yisro is also called Ish. It says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chafalaf, Vayoel Moshe La Sheves Es Ha'ish. So if Yisro is called Ish and Moshe is called Ish, so we should be stuck to back to square one. Who bowed down to? So this is fascinating. So he says the pasuk it quotes from Moshe. Rashi only quotes the first two words. Vayish Moshe. What comes after that? Vayish Moshe anav mikol adam. That's what it's coming to tell you. Moshe was the soprano. So who bowed down to? Moshe bowed down to him. So why I find this fascinating is because it means that there's a big omek, a depth, to when Chazal say these seemingly innocent things. Ah, it says ish. He's ish. That, you know, gzeir shava, like. You don't know where it comes from. There was depth to it, too. Yes, we know Moshe is called Ish. Yisro is called Ish. It's that Ish. He's called Ish, and he's also the Ish Anav Mikol Adam. So that tells you who bowed down to. Okay, anyway, it says, Vahime Macharas Vaishav Moshe Lishpot Esa'am. So Moshe goes to judge the nation. Vayamod HaMoshim and HaBoked Arev. Tons of Shoftim. What's all this dinim that needed to happen? So he quotes Yesh Mefarshim that this is the Erev Rav, that they were being Toveya, the booty of their Krovim, meaning those who converted. So it was there, they said, we're entitled to the booty from their dead Mitzri relatives. Okay, the Chizkuni doesn't think that fits well in the Pasuk, but he does quote it as a Yesh Mefarshim. And it says, Moshe sat min haboka ada Erev. So he just brings the Chazal that say, it says min haboker. Well, it wasn't literally the whole day. It was, he says, Chazal say it was 6 hours. That's from a brisa from Rabbi Elazar, but it still was a long time. But Yisro, as we all know, was not happy about this. And he says, Navol tibol gamata gama amazer sher imach. You will be Navol tibol if you keep this up, Moshe. So Rashi brings from Uncle Listen, and it means you'll wither away. Like Allah Navel. But the Chizkuni has a very interesting pshat. That doesn't mean that at all. It means you'll get mixed up, like by the Migdal Bavel. It says, V'nivla sham svasam. Hashem said, I'll mix up their languages. It's also Navel, mix up. So he says, that's what it means. Navel tibol, you'll get all mixed up. Why is he going to get all mixed up? Because imagine all those gazillions of people. If there's one judge in the whole 3 million people, everybody's get. He said it'll be a cacophony of sound. Everybody's screaming, yelling, and it'll be Navolti Bol. I'll get mixed up. It's too much of a bahala. I can't hear what anybody's saying. I can't know what anybody's saying. Going all mixed up. That's what he says, Navolti Bol, because of the whole cacophony that will be going on there. So rather, you should have a lot of judges. And like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on, you know, there's supposed to be Sarei Alafim, Sarei Asaros, right? All the different things. The Gemara in Bava Basra makes a cheshbon, if you follow what the Pasuk says, not Bava Basra, Sanhedrin, makes a cheshbon that it would come out that there's 78,600 judges. If you go, you know, if there's someone in charge of every 100, someone in charge of every 1,000, so, you know, the whole cheshbon, it comes out. If you do the math, it'd be 78,600. So, were they part of the 600,000 or not? They seem not to be. So it could be that there were an additional, of the 600,000 men, there were an additional 78,600 who were in charge of those. Or they were within the 600,000 was 78,600 judges, and they were included, meaning if somebody was a judge over 10, it really means that he was included in that 10. Alternatively, these judges were old people. They weren't between the ages of 20 and 60, so that's why in the 600,000, you'll still have 78,600 not counted, because they were old. Okay, that's more like of a technical point. Okay, now this whole parsha of Yisro, as we know, is a machlokas when it took place. Did Yisro come before Matan Torah, or did Yisro come after Matan Torah? What's interesting is, if you hold that Yisro came after Matan Torah, that means it means Moshe's children were not at Har Sinai. It means Gershom and Eliezer were not at Har Sinai if Yisro came after Matan Torah. And he brings a medrash that perhaps you could say that Yisro was really there and just couldn't take part in Maimon Har Sinai because he wasn't part of the Shibud. There are those that say that he wasn't there at all for Maimon Har Sinai, in which case Moshe's children were not part of Maimon Har Sinai. And the Chizkuni says it's an interesting lashon. He says, Afal pishen ra'i ladavar zech ladavar shlo hiskuru mikan ve'elech b'shum makum b'torah. He says, this is not a proof, but this is a zecher that Gershom and Eliezer are never ever again mentioned in the Torah. As if to say that, you know, that's more mistaver than that they weren't at Maimon Har Sinai and they weren't part of the whole. Almost sounds like they weren't part of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if it quite means that, but they weren't at Maimon Har Sinai, then they weren't part of the story of the Jewish people after that. That's what it sounds like. Okay, so then we have the story of Matan Torah. So the Bnei Yisrael are getting ready for Matan Torah, and Hashem says, tell the Bnei Yisrael, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim, and I carried you on eagle's wings. What does it mean, Al-Kan Fin Nisharim? So the Chizkuni says it means the Yam Suf. They carried them over the Yam Suf. And because of that, you should listen to me. Shmartim Esprisi of Yisam Lisugula, you will be a treasured nation to me from all the nations. Kili Kal Aretz, because I own the land. What is that supposed to mean? So Chizkuni says, interestingly, that means that Kili Kal Aretz means even though Li Kal Aretz. Ki can sometimes mean even though. Like we just had in Parshas B'Shalach, that Hashem took them, did not take them derech plishtim, ki karov, who means there, despite the fact that it was karov. Right? That's the Pashup Shah. Ki karov, who means despite the fact that it was karov. So here he says also, you will be my treasured nation from among the nations. Ki, despite the fact, li kol aretz, that I own the whole land and I created all human beings, you still will be for me a special nation. Okay, then Hashem says to Moshe, hine anochi bo yelecha ba'av hanana, I'm coming to you in the cloud. Ba'avur yishma am b'dabri yimach, so that the nation should hear when I speak to you. V'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam, and then they will believe in you forever. And the Chizkuni speaks out, that we all know from other Rishonim as well, that this was so that one day, if someone will say, you know, the difference between the Jewish religion and all other religions is that everybody else says that God spoke to me, I promise, and he told me I'm his prophet. We are the only religion where we could say, we heard God say that Moses is his prophet. So that's this. Hashem spoke to Moshe, and we heard him speak to Moshe, and that's how we know that Moses is God's prophet. That's this pasuk. Hashem says, I will come to you, Moshe, b'av hanan, b'avur yishma, am b'dabri yimach, that people will see that I am talking to you, v'gam b'cha yamin ola'olam, and therefore they will believe in you forever. And Hashem also tells Moshe, make sure nobody goes up on Har Sinai, as it says, lo siga bo yad, ki sakol yisakelo yoro yireh, which means they will get skila if they go up, o yoro yireh, but they will be thrown off a cliff. Now we know, as Rashi brings, skila involves being thrown off a cliff first, and then if the person doesn't die, then they get skila. So it's really out of order. It should have said, yoro yireh sakol yisakel. If we're learning, because Rashi says, like we learned this is where we learn hilchos skila from, that you first get thrown off a cliff, and then if the person doesn't die, then they get skila with the stones. With the stone, I should say. Anyway, so he says, what it means is, ki sakol yisakel, Yaro Yireh, the one who is Yaro Yireh, I mean the person who gets the skila, the one who was thrown off the cliff. Whatever, that's how you have to explain it. Okay, then it says on the third day when it was Boker and there were Kolos of Rakim and Anan Kaved Alahar and a Kol Shafar Chazak Mod, it was very loud and furious. Vayecharad Kola Amasher B'machaneh. Now the Pashup Shad is that means that everyone in the nation that was in the camp, Vayecharad mean was afraid. The Unkelos says, the Chizkuni says that's not what it means. Vayecharad means they moved. Like you find in Nach, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Tes Zayin, and Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Zayin, where charada there means moving, like it says, v'chol ha'am chardu acharav. It means they moved after him, they went after him. So v'yechara means they moved. What do you mean they moved? They got up. They got up out of bed when they heard all this noise, and they realized, they realized the Shekhinah is waiting for them at Har Sinai, so they ran out of bed. Right, we know that's part of the Indian why we stay up on Shavuos night, that we're going to not be woken up by the Shekhinah. We'll be up the whole night. But then they had to get up when they heard all the noise to run to Har Sinai. And then we have the famous Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigis, that Hashem put the mountain over them and said he would kill them if they didn't accept the Torah. And then we know the famous question, what do you mean? They already said before Na'aseh V'Nishma. So the Chizkuni answers, like many answer, and he's quoting others, that it's based on a Medrash, that it was about Torah Shebaal Peh. They hadn't yet accepted Torah Shebaal Peh, and that was Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigis, was to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is much, much more difficult. And the pasuk says, "Vahi kol ha'shofar holech v'chazek ma'od." Moshe yedaber. Moshe speaks. V'alokim yanenu v'kol. Moshe would speak, and Hashem would answer him b'kol. So the way the Chizkuni understands that pasuk, you could look in Rashi, but the way the Chizkuni understands that pasuk is Moshe would speak quietly, and Hashem would speak back to Moshe b'kol. Why is that? Because Moshe had to speak to Hashem, so Hashem can hear, obviously. But there was a lot of noise going on. Like I said, he called shofar holech v'chazek mo. There was a really loud shofar. So for Moshe to hear Hashem had to speak with a loud voice. It's an interesting chant in the pasuk. But Rashbam says that chapter 2, okay. Anyway, then it says that no one's supposed to come up on the mountain. The gam ha-kohanim ha-nigashim al-Hashem is kadoshu. Also the kohanim. Who's the kohanim? So Rashi says it's the Bechoros, because there were no Kohanim yet. There wasn't Chet Egel. It was still the Bechoros who were the Kohanim. So the Kohanim, Rashi says, refers to the Bechoros. The Chizkuni says it refers to the Zakenim, who were all Bechoros, which is interesting. I'm not clear where that comes from, but he says that the Kohanim refers to the Zakenim. All of the Zakenim were Bechoros. So they're Kohanim in that way. So then we have the Aseres HaDibros. Pasuk says, "Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela le'mor." So the Chizkuni says, like that's like say like a person who has to prepare their remarks before they say it. So that's "Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela," as if he said it to himself, le'mor, to say it over. And we learn from here that before a person speaks publicly or teaches publicly, they need to prepare themselves. They have to go over it two or three times. If you're a Balkari, you have to go over the laning two or three times before you lane. He brings a medrash about Rabbi Akiva. They asked him to be the Balkari, to get an aliyah and be the Balkari. He wouldn't do it because he hadn't prepared it two or three times. If you're going to speak in public, you have to prepare yourself first. At least Torah, you have to prepare yourself first so it comes out well. And that's Hashem teaching us, Derech Eretz, that is, so to speak, Kabiyachal, Hashem prepared his words first and then said it. But when teaching Torah, you have to prepare yourself first. Now we know the first two Dibros were said to each, to Bnei Yisrael, and the others were said to Moshe. So he brings this Medrash that Hashem, each person felt those two Dibros, each person felt that Hashem was talking only to them. Just like the man, it's the same man, and everybody tasted their own thing. Hashem spoke to each person, and it's as each person felt like Hashem was speaking specifically to them. And he says, you see that in the psukim, that the first two psukim, it says, it sounds like a private conversation. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. As in, it's almost, you know, just two people talking. I am Hashem, your God, who took you, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yisrael, Lo yia lecha Elohim acherim al panai, don't have another God on my face. And after that, Hashem gets talked about in the third person. It says, Lo sisa shem Hashem Elokecha lashav. It doesn't say, Lo sisa eshmi. There's no private talking over here. Now it's third person. Lo sisa shem Hashem Elokecha lashav. And Yom Hashvi, Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, not Shabbos li. And Losirtzach, and the last five Dibros didn't even say Hashem's name at all. Anyway, it's only the first two where you have that personal type of connection where Hashem is talking about himself as me instead of as Hashem, so to speak. only in the first two psukim does Hashem refer to himself as Anochi, I. Okay, so then we have, so the first mitzvah is Anochi. That's, the Chizkun explains Hashem commanding us to be mekabel his adnos, to be mekabel him being Hashem over us, God over us. We have to do his avoda because he took us out of Mitzrayim, and now we're avodim to him. Why does it say Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim and not that I am Hashem your God who created you? Right, the most famous question ever. Why did Hashem say I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim instead of I am Hashem your God who Barasicha who created you? So the Chizkuni's answer is because if it had just said Anochi Hashem Lakecha Asher Barasicha, so then the Jewish people could say, how come we need to keep 613 and all the other nations only have to keep 7? Why do we get all these extra mitzvahs? You know, someone might say that. Anyway, it's the Fisho Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. I'm about to give you this Torah and these mitzvahs, and it's because I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. I have a special relationship with you, and you have a special relationship with me, and you owe me because I took you out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, we're going to have the 613 mitzvahs. And Hashem says in the second Dibra that Hashem rewards those who listen to him and punish those who don't. It says, Osa chesed la lafim la ohavai ula shomri mitzvosai. Who are the ohavai and shomri mitzvosai? Chizkuna says as the ohavai are the chasidim, shomri mitzvosav are the tzadikim. What he means by that is, I believe, ohavai are chasidim, meaning people who are serving Hashem out of love, the chasidim. They want to do more avoda, and all they care about is Hashem. They love Hashem. Shomri mitzvosai are the people who are tzaddikim, meaning they do the right thing. But if you ask them, would they prefer to be chilling out on the chair? Yes. You know, they're tzaddikim. They do the right thing because it's the right thing. Ohavai are ohavai. They're doing ratzon Hashem because they love Hashem. So that's obviously a higher level. Anyway, he brings also this medrash that Turnus Rufus asked Rebbe, why is Hashem's name not mentioned in the last five Dibros? You only find Hashem's name mentioned in the first five Dibros. Hashem's name is not mentioned at all in the last five Dibros. So, Rebbe said to him, let me show you your house. And he brings him into his house, and he says in the foyer, he shows him he sees, oh, here's your nice spear, and in the living room, he's got his shield and his whatever. He's got all his fancy stuff all over the house, his shield, his spear, all the things that makes this Turnus Rufus general proud. And then he goes into the bathroom. He says, I don't see any fancy stuff hanging around here. I don't see your spear, your shields, anything cool. He says, because it's the bathroom, Turnus Rufus says. It's inappropriate here. So Rebbe said to him, that's the pshat. Hashem's name is in the first five Dibros, because those are chashuva things. Lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, those are disgusting things. So there Hashem's name is not mentioned. It's, you know, it's like similar to like that concept of the Beis HaKisei. Don't keep fancy things in the Beis HaKisei. The last five mitzvos are low, five dibros. And also, first five dibros are all bein adam lamakom. So it's not as bad because Hashem says it's only me, as opposed to the last five are against your friend, sins against your friend. Hashem doesn't want to be mentioned there. So it's just an interesting ha'ara, like many people make about keep it on aim. If the reason why Hashem's name is mentioned in the first five, because those, if anyone doesn't keep them, they're only an insult to Hashem. And if you don't keep the last five, it's an insult to man. That means keep it on aim truly is a function of kavod Hashem. The truth is, the Chizkuni does point out that they have many of the same laws, meaning there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim, there's a mitzvah of mora aveim, and there's an avera not to be mekalel your parents, and those three things apply to Hashem, right? There's a mitzvah of avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, and you can't chasron be mekalel Hashem. And they all come from the same thing. They're all from kavod hamakom. Hashem created you, your parents created you, so that's why you have those mitzvahs. But anyway, the point is, it comes out that the kibud aveim is a direct function of honoring Hashem. Okay. He also points out another interesting thing between the five dibros, the first five dibros and last five, is that both five are all in a lo mibaya kind of way. Like it's not only this, even that. It starts off with the most serious, and not only this, even that. So the first five go, be mekabel me as your God. Not only that, don't have anybody else with me. And not only that, don't take my name in vain. And not only that, since I rested on the seventh day, you also have to rest on the seventh day. And not only that, you should even honor your parents, because that's similar to honoring me. Okay. The last five are I think, like more clear. That don't murder. And not only don't murder, don't do adultery. And which is also harms your friend in a sense, especially if it's his wife. Now, lo sirtzach is the most harming of your friend. Next level is taking his, being mizana with his wife. And not only that, don't even steal his money, lo signov. And not only don't steal things, but don't even say something, edu sheker, that could cause things to be stolen. And not only that, don't even be jealous of what he has. Okay, you can look there yourself. That's my understanding of what he meant. He also mentions that there's Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. As we know, when you read the way we read the Aseres HaDibros in Shul, is we read them as Dibros, meaning we don't, the trup doesn't follow where the Pasuk ends. It reads it each Dibra together as one Dibra. That's called Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton, is to read each Pasuk with the trup that ends at the end of the Pasuk. So the Chizkuni says that only on Shavuos do you read it with the Tam Elyon, and on this week, Parshas Yitro, you would read it with the Tam Tachton. That's not, you know, our practice is to read them both with Tam Elyon. But what's interesting is when he describes Tam Elyon, he describes it as when you read it with the Tam Elyon, that's supposed to be Dugmas Matan Torah. It's supposed to be similar to the receiving of Matan Torah, and that's why you read it as Dibros. I think many people have heard from Rav Soloveitchik that's why he suggested why it's okay to stand up when they read the Aseres HaDibros, even though you're not allowed to show more honor to one part of the Torah over the other, that we're reliving Aseres HaDibros since we lain Tam Elyon, we're reliving the Chizkuni says, Dugmas Matan Torah, and those who say you cannot stand up for that, they would lain it with Tam Tachton. Okay, that's an aside. Now it says, everyone was Roim as HaKolos. Now we know all the cool explanations of what it means to see Kolos, but the Chizkuni says, there is a Pashup shot here. It says, Vayar Ha'am Kiboshesh Moshe. People saw that Moshe was not coming down. There's nothing to see there. See doesn't have to mean with your eyes. It means you know something to be true. Vayaraha means they understood. Like, I see you're not coming. You didn't see anything. You mean you're understanding. You understand that they are not coming. So Roimus HaKolos means they understood the Kolos. They understood that they were there or understood them. Just the end of the parasha says, Mizbach Adam Atas Alimik Mizbech Hashem Bezavach Talav. And you make you shecht on it, karbonos to Hashem. And the Chizkuni says, even the Yisrael, like we know Yisrael could do the shechita, but he's saying the Yisrael could even go up to the Mizbeach. Normally the Yisrael is really not allowed to go past the first, the Ezros Yisrael, which is the first little bit of the Azara. This is saying that he can go up to do that. And he says also, you see by Ansukkis, it says they used to put their, Hoshana Rabbah, they would put their Aravos up against the Mizbeach, and afterwards they would go take it. Everybody would go take it. So he says the Israels were allowed to walk up to the Mizbeach. It wasn't just, even though that's not the Makkum of the Israelim, he says they were allowed to go up to the Mizbeach. Certainly, the Torah, obviously, is what we mean. And the last Pasuk is V'losala B'malos HaMizbechi, which means, he says, that on the Mizbeach, you have to walk Godel Batzad, you have to walk up 1 foot in front of the other, not taking big steps. But in the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim, you don't need to do that. That's only by the Mizbeach. Okay.